Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. It's great to have everybody here today. And I have some great friends. It's been a little bit of a while for Pat, but Andy, he's come almost once or twice a year.
Whenever you ask me, my friend, I'll always be here. So,
and they're both from Yamaha and some amazing stuff. Andy is I don't know the official title. I'm trying to think of what it is.
Well, that just changed as of April 1st, right? We had a little bit of a reorganization. So my official title now is Technical Sales Specialist of the Sales Enablement Division. So I love the way that that sounds. We're all about enabling sales and enabling new musicians and then enabling intermediate and advanced players to really kind of take advantage of the Yamaha way and the Yamaha technology that we're putting in cool guitars.
Right. Well, last time I saw you was at NAMM, Winter NAMM, and you're getting ready to go to Nashville for the Summer NAMM. And there was some interesting developments. And check out on the All About Guitar page, there's some videos I did at Yamaha on the guitars and also some of the other stuff, the keyboards, and I think I did something on drums. I think there was something on drums too. But check it out, because we talk about some of these guitars we're going to talk about today. And then Pat had been on a little while before that when we did the show on the 50th anniversary of the FG-180. Yeah. And I went down to the custom shop where he works at Yamaha before they moved.
Yeah, we recently moved to be closer to our other brand in the Yamaha Guitar Group, Line 6. So they're based in Calabasas, so they had a building there, and we were looking to expand. So it's kind of a really good fit for us. We were able to move the shop from over here in Burbank to up the road, get about 50% more space in the shop, which is awesome. We grew it. We have now a painter that works full-time and kind of my compatriot, Andrew Enns, who is our acoustic guitar builder. So he is our acoustic guitar designer builder, and I do all of, like, the electric guitar, bass, hollow body, stuff like that. And we both work on, like, all the artist instruments. And
very cool. And when I was there, when I went to Burbank, I brought my FG-180, and it looks brand new since he worked on it. He adjusted it, and it's just amazing. It plays great, and it was fun to do the AB there. But it's good to have both of you guys back. And
thanks for having
us. What you've done on some of these, did you design the Pacifica?
No, that was like long before my time. But actually Ken DePran, who's like he's the head of our building, right? So Yamaha Artist Services has always been led by Ken. And he's like our operations like guru. He does everything to make sure the whole place runs on time, and he's worked with like all of our legacy artists and stuff. He's like the point man for a lot of artists, making sure I get to do what I want to do at work, you know. So he plays a lot of these parts, and he's been working there for like 40 years now. So it's I have like newfound respect for him every day. I'm like,
well,
damn.
Let him know that I had Mark Bonilla on the show, and he swears by his lefty.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That he custom painted. It's a beautiful.
Mark's been a Yamaha artist for many, many years. Yes. Fantastic player too. Great player.
Oh yeah, monster player. Yeah. But I mean, that guitar was cool.
Yeah, they've been buds for a long, long time, and every once in a while, Mark will bring in like this insane like left-handed guitar that like only one exists, you know. And he's like, "Yeah, I bought this, you know, way back when." And I'm like, "God!" And he's like, "Yeah, it's worth like more than your car."
So you got it. That paint job where he put all the comic book characters. I'm waiting for a signature model of that because that is so cool.
Yeah,
his
cool.
inlays, the whole shot, it's just amazing. But anyway, first of all. We don't have the red line here, and it's a good thing, not a bad thing, because it's so popular. I'll let Andy explain why they're not here tonight.
Yeah, so what we did for this year is we wanted to kind of capitalize on the legacy of the FG line. For many of us that have been around Yamaha for a long time, that FG was always the lineup. It wasn't A series. It was L series to a certain extent, but FG was the lineup. So what Yamaha has done for new for this year is we've done an FG and FS3 and an FG and FS5. And they break down kind of like the A series does. So FG and FS5 is we make it in our China factory in Hangzhou, China. All solid. We put the ARE treatment on the top wood, ebony board, ebony bridge, solid spruce over solid mahogany. We make a version with no electronics, and that sells for $799. And then the version of the 3 series with electronics is $999. Modern build on a traditional sort of appearance, right? So it's got a traditional tuning fork logo. It's got those cool kind of vintage tuners that we did on the 5 series of the A. But what it also has is got some interior mojo. So it's got scallop bracing, which is something we did not do on the original early FGs. And then there's some brand new electronics on the inside. And I'll let Pat kind of talk a little bit about this new pickup system called Atmos Feel.
Yeah, yeah. Atmos Feel, it's actually like we've developed the SRT technology and kind of what goes into a lot of our products. We just kind of always are developing those preamps to make them sweeter, make them easier to use. So what you saw in a lot of like the previous Yamaha guitars, like the A series and things, is kind of like the traditional kind of rectangular box style electronics that drops in. This is just a little bit more sleek appearance, yeah. And you can see
it almost looks a little bit more like this, where it's a traditional 4 button layout.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing that your
so it's actually 4 buttons instead of
3. This is the transacoustic. We'll talk a little bit new about the parlor size transacoustic, but what Atmos Feel is doing now is we're actually able to take 3 different pickup signals,
yeah, that's what
and
blew
merge
me
them
away.
Into
yeah.
one output signal. So you'll have a traditional piezo pickup under the saddle. There'll be an internal microphone as well. And then the new kind of thing that we've got as part of this technology is what we call a sheet sensor pickup. And it's about half the size of a piece of notebook paper and probably about as thick. And it's attached to the underside of the top of the guitar and is meant to pick up top vibrations.
Yeah, instead of a contact mic, it's like a surface piezo almost. That's like a way to think of it. But it's not like a typical undersaddle piezo. It doesn't have the kind of restraints of like being more treble mid-range oriented.
Is it like a PZM pressure zone type?
It's actually developed by one of our really genius engineers, Shingo Ikuni, and I can't give too much away, but I've watched him, and actually we developed some of his prototypes, you know, making like little pieces and weights, and it's so proprietary. It's really hard to explain. I don't want to say the wrong thing to you know, discount his work, but man, he works as well with us in Calabasas office, and he's one of the expats from YCJ. So we kind of shifted things to this like kind of central hub in Calabasas, and he is like the guy behind this pickup system, and his ears are like amazing. So this sheet sensor, I would say almost like the shape of like a stick of gum, would you say?
Like about that, yeah.
Like a flat stick of gum. And
it's that small or it's big?
It's relatively small. But it's like super, super flat. So it doesn't damp the top wood, right? So a lot of these like older contact microphones and sensors that you'd see in some guitars, you have to like permanently glue them, and you'd have to really use some like, you know, heavy, I would say, pieces like from whatever it is, the microphone or you're mounting your preamp or your battery or all those things are like kind of deadening the sound of the top. So having this stuck on back of the top, it doesn't really impede any of the natural vibration of the guitar itself, and it just picks up a warmer tone. So blending all three of these pickups together really makes it kind of have this like natural sound that you would expect when you play the guitar acoustically, because everybody really, what you want is you want to play the guitar acoustically, plug it in, hear the same thing.
Right.
We do a lot of work on making the guitar naturally sound good. We don't want to do anything that is going to impede that sound being amplified. So everything that we've done with the new generation of A-Series from a few years ago and now with Atmosfeel is taking the natural warm sound of the acoustic guitar as we've developed it and trying to make it as transparent as possible to come down the cable and then out of your PA system or into your headphones.
Now, let me ask you from your ears. Now, most, just if you're not familiar with the pickup technology for acoustic guitars, most of the high-end systems are two pickup where they have the piezo under the bridge. I have this system. I have an LR Bags in my Martin. And then on the bottom is a microphone. Mm-hmm. So the microphone gives you more of the body and the depth, and the piezo is bright like most piezos are. And by blending that, you get a more acoustic sound. Now, let me ask you guys, to your ears, what does the that little strip, what do you call it, the sheet sensor, does that give you more bottom end, more mid-range? Or, you know, I would presume that the piezo is still the top end.
Well, what I would say is that instead of like kind of getting all your low mid-range and low end from the microphone, because that's what it's very good at, but the problem is with a microphone, you have to turn it up too high. So what will happen is you'll feedback like crazy. And then so you put too much bass in your PA or your you know acoustic guitar amp, and it just ends up being unnatural, and it kind of makes the top, you know, vibrate out of control. That's what the uncontrolled feedback is. So what the sheet sensor is able to do is give you some of that low mid-range and like the natural mid-range, and then the microphone is able to be there as a, you know, a third support role. You know, that's it's like a very evenly made three-band EQ through three different pickups.
So you can individually adjust the outputs of each.
You can adjust it, and there's a bass contour control as well. So you can really kind of define that bass output on the guitar as well, Jeff. So.
Now, can you say where do they put the strip?
There's some kind of in where you would naturally kind of make some percussive sounds, because that's also part of it too. So we wanted to make the guitar a little bit more.
So it's on the side?
Yeah, there's one down on this area, and there's one just up in the...
Oh, there's two.
Yes.
Oh.
So they're in different spots, but kind of like if you were to play your acoustic guitar and you would kind of bring your left hand over
one
the
of
front.
One of your artists, Don Alder.
Don, yeah, or Carl Tostin, the way Carl kind of plays is does a lot of percussive stuff with his hands, accentuating rhythm and stuff like that. This guitar is actually almost made for that guy, for the fact that now they've got almost infinite amount of control that they can do between the three pickup systems to make one great output signal.
But everything comes out of one output. You can't separate the outputs?
Currently, the outputs are non-separable.
I would just say that way. Separable.
Separable, non-separable. I mean, you had a nice eloquent intro for two bumheads to come in here. each guitar actually has the preamp tuned for that body shape and size and bracing and things. So, if we were to say we're going to do it in the FG and FS, we can't make one pickup and put it in both. They're tuned specifically for the larger and smaller bodies.
No, the reason I'm saying that is those percussive people that play percussively, to send that out, it can use to trigger, a synth or a device. That's why I was bringing it up.
Don't let any cats out of the bag there, Jeffrey.
Oh, sorry.
I can neither confirm nor deny what we've been working on.
Yeah, there's always stuff in the pipe, man.
We will make you talk. We will make you. No, and now what's the difference between the FG and the FS?
So it's just body size. So this the same scale length, same radius on the fretboard. It's basically body shape. So FG is what we call our Western body or a dreadnought body shape. It's a little larger of a lower bout, though, and I think that's what gives Yamaha that richer low mid-range signal, which makes the guitar very attractive and easy to listen to when you play. The FS body style is more of a concert style, more of a concert body. And I equate them to this way. My strum people, I always want to put them into a bigger guitar. They want to fill the room up. My finger pickers, I'll put them into that smaller body guitar because it's a little more intimate to listen to.
And then what's the difference between the 3 and the 5?
So the construction is somewhat similar. There's a few variances between the two. The 3 is made in our Hangzhou, China factory. The 5 series, both the FS and FG5s, are made in Hamamatsu, Japan, which is still, remember, basically our Yamaha custom shop on a very small production level. So that factory last year did less than 7,000 guitars across about 11 different models. So when you see a Japanese Yamaha for sale, take it in some pretty serious consideration for the fact that there's not a lot of them, mm-hmm. and these are master-built instruments. You've got to be a luthier of some experience and breath to be able to work on these instruments right. out of Hamamatsu.
But it's the same materials. They're all solid.
Solid spruce over solid mahogany, African mahogany neck, ebony board, ebony bridge. Both have the acoustic resonance enhancement treatment, where we're trying to get the wood fibers to lay down a little bit, so it's the best sounding guitar when you get it home that day. We're not having to wait 5, 10, 20 years for the guitar to mature.
So can you explain a little bit of that process?
Yeah, so I think the buzzword in the industry is torrification or torrefaction or torrified or terrified.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, like the baked maple that you see on a lot of electric guitars these days, or guys are doing it for different woods as well. It's a similar process, but it is our own proprietary way. It's all about timing and temperature, and I've made different electric guitar necks with roasted maple, and I'll work with a local vendor, and we'll pick some stuff, and I'll say, hey, I need the roast to be a little lighter, or I need it to be a little darker. It's weird. It's like coffee, but you know, it actually changes the tone of the top by crystallizing the resin that's in the wood and making it kind of like a drier piece, where it makes it a little bit stiffer but lighter weight, so it's more, you know, able to vibrate more, you know, I would say it jumps a little sooner. It's a little bit more dynamic when you do this treatment process. So it really matches well with the mahogany backsides because you kind of get a little bit more the brightness out of the top, but it's that mellowed flavor that you'd have. Yeah,
is this the same process that they use on the Billy Sheehan bass?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
We
do what we call IRA, or initial response acceleration, and that's mainly on the electric instruments. And once again, that's a way that we treat the wood to get a faster note response out of the instrument once the note's been put into it. Our proprietary thing with ARE is we pressure treat the wood. We're trying to get the wood fibers to lay down like the guitar's been played for 20 or 30 years. Everybody wants to heat their wood up and dry their wood out, which is fantastic. I'm glad that everybody's doing that. Yamaha takes it one step farther. That's a proprietary treatment, acoustic resonance enhancement.
Okay.
So. Yeah, it's like a specially designed chamber. It's not like the typical kind of baking of, you know, baked maple or things where they just kind of take the atmosphere out, heat it up, and that's it. It's very consistent on, like, how much temperature is allowed in there. That's why you'll see like the ARE tops aren't as dark as you would normally expect in like a roasted maple fingerboard or what have you. It's because it's not getting to a certain point where it's going too far.
Right. Now, from your experience in using a lot of guys, I'm seeing a lot of guitars now with the roasted maple more cosmetically. I see it more because it looks beautiful. But from your experience, if it's baked more, it's baked less, what's the difference in the sound?
Well, I think it's a lot about the kind of machining ability of the piece of wood. If it's darker versus lighter, there is some sound difference, but there's kind of a diminishing returns when it comes to like going too far with it. The darker it gets, the harder it is the machine. It has more, you know, likelihood to splinter or kind of like some chips will fly off. So I would say in the manufacturing process, probably you would see more lighter pieces because it's easier to manufacture. But when I'm making guitar, everything is one by one. So I'm tone tapping different pieces, or I'm saying, okay, well, this is a lightweight ash body. It weighs this much, and it kind of has this resonant frequency. I'm going to try and find a neck board that has a similar resonant frequency. And I'm trying to do cosmetic matching as well, trying to make sure that the two pieces go together. Because, you know, guitar is a piece of clothing. It's fashion, you know, that you're wearing this in front of, you know, all your fans, and it's a part of your wardrobe. So I'm trying to like match everything. But sonically, I would say when you're roasting maple, it goes from being plain maple to having more of the high order harmonics kind of jump out, really nice low end that's like very clear, doesn't get muddy at all. But the nice part is you do get that beautiful color, and it's like having a guitar that's been played for 20
so
years.
It's
more broken in.
Broken in. Now you're processing just the neck, not the fretboard, right?
Actually, I've done both. So
how does that work? What do you think about that? Does it make a difference?
Well, I mean, typically if I'm going to do a maple neck with a maple fretboard, I'll take one board and I'll slice it and then I'll put them back together.
Right.
So I'll slice it. I'll make sure that they're sanded smooth on both sides. And then I'll make the neck and fingerboard out of the same piece. I always like to, if you can, keep the boards together, you know, because it's like they broke up and come back together. Well, but they're going to get along hopefully better the second time.
But I mean, in terms of like a maple neck with a rosewood or an ebony board, would you bake the?
No, typically you wouldn't like bake a ebony or rosewood fingerboard. Ebony is pretty brittle already, and it has a tendency to crack. I think if you dried it out more, you're just asking for trouble, and machining it, I think, would be quite a pain. I have talked with our guy about I've made roasted alder body blanks. I've done that. That actually works really great. It makes the body a bit lighter, which is nice. Anytime I can make a guitar lighter, I'll do it.
Right.
So I'll do that with mahogany, too. I'm going to give that a shot. But I mean, if you do it for ash, you lose that really nice pale color. So it's cool if you wanted like a more honey kind of color, or like a darker transparent, or if you're doing a solid color, it doesn't matter. But
well, on the acoustic guitars, you're talking that process, you're only doing it on the soundboard?
It's only on top.
It's only on top.
Yeah, you're not doing it on the back and sides. Yeah. Okay.
But it also kind of, on acoustic guitars, what you notice is that the top looks a little bit more ambered. And, you know, looks like it's been around. Looks like the guitar has been around for a while. And that's what it sounds like, too.
So the main thing that determines the sound, especially as you break it in, is the top.
Yeah, especially on acoustic guitars. We know about 90% of acoustic guitar's tone is generated in an oval shape that's right behind the bridge. So that's why we really, really treat that piece of wood with some care. Right, because that's generating our tone. That's going to be generating your tone for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, however long you're owning this guitar. So we treat that with special care and consideration.
So these guitars now, the Red Line, they're out now?
FG Red Label
are now starting to ship now. Once again, FG3, $799, no electronics. $999 with electronics. That's both body shapes, both the FG and the FS3. The FG and FS5, no electronics, is $11.99. And with electronics, $13.99 in a hard shell case. Now, here's one thing we're going to talk about just for a second, and we'll go on to the other stuff that we brought here, Jeff. There's a value to, once again, to that Yamaha Japan product. Is that if I can put an all-solid wood guitar made in a custom shop in Japan, made by four or five guys tops that really work that guitar, for the price of somebody's two or three level instrument, I think we're coming out ahead of the game. And I think once you play these guitars, your ears don't lie, right? You can buy pretty all day long, and our guitars are good looking, but they really talk to you. They really have a sound that to me as a player, really, really speaks to me. I'm all about that mid-range. I love lows and low mids. It'll sparkle when I need it to, but it's got all the warm and gooey middle that some other manufacturers will take away from you.
So basically, you're getting a custom shop guitar for at a really ridiculous price.
And you know, the talent of the luthiers in Japan is astounding. I mean, I love going over there and, like, picking up a thing or two. You know, it's amazing, the talent level, the ability for them to make these guitars, especially at that price point. It's kind of crazy because our labor cost is essentially the same as the United States, you know, and the factory is just as good as any of, you know, what you'd find here. It's the same.
No, I remember when the A and the L series, and we were looking at those at NAMM, and I was with you. They sounded amazing.
And now the price, if you look across the board, the new BB basses, I think we did those the last time we were in the studio, is $14.99 for a 4-string, $15.99 for a 5-string in a hard shell case from a custom shop.
Yeah.
That's the price. That's less than the price of somebody else's production American model. You know, so I think there's a great value in that, and I think it's time to look again at Yamaha Japan and not everything else that we make, because it's a tremendous value.
Yeah, like looking at like RevStars, last year I think we made 250 RevStars in Japan, you know, so that's how limited like the quantity is. They want them to be so perfect that they're like, well, you know, we can't make tens of thousands at this point because, you know, we only want these five guys that are just so well trained to do this job. You know, that's what you're getting is instead of kind of, you know, this guy presses in the frets. This guy, you know, glues on the fingerboard. This guy, you know.
Yeah, they don't want to bang them out.
No.
These guitars basically will sit on a table until they're finished with production. It does not, as Pat said, it does not travel down an assembly line in Japan. These are master-built instruments. Pretty special stuff.
Yeah, and it's crazy because you'll go there and you'll see, like, all of the files or like, I was watching neck fitting one day and watching you know, the dovetail of the acoustic guitar get fit, and the worker makes their own plane, their own custom plane that they sharpen and hone every day, and they're shaving off like a thousandth off the edge of this dovetail, and they're gonna slide it in there, and it's just perfect. It's insane watching it happen. You know, it's not like this rough thing. It's more of an art. It's like watching a play. It's weird.
Cool. Over the years of using Yamahas and using my FG 180, one thing I've noticed, and I've noticed this going to NAMM and playing them, the consistencies. The same model, they sound pretty close as you go from model to model. They sound the same year after year because they're made that precise. I mean, I don't see in very many other guitars.
Well, that's kind of one of the things that our artists talk about the most, to me at least, is they like playing the RevStars, or they like playing, you know, the FGs, the FS, the LJ, whatever it is, they love playing it because they know every night when they get up on stage, the neck hasn't moved. It's going to sound the same. The sound guy's not chewing their ear off that, hey, did you touch something? It's like, no.
Yeah.
It's perfect every night. I mean, Jade from AFI, been working with him a little bit, making him some guitars. He's like, the reason I like it is because it's consistent. Each guitar to guitar, I know what I'm getting. And I think that goes far. You don't have to go through the store and kind of like sort to find the good one.
Right.
They're all the good ones.
Well, that's another thing too. I've talked to other artists about this, especially theft, unfortunately. But let's say that you lose a guitar or a guitar's damaged. You can get that same model, go to any Yamaha dealer, and you'll get, you know, you might have your own personal tweak to it, but for the most part, it's the same. So to me, that's valuable as a roadworthy instrument. The fact that you can get it's replaceable, that's a weird concept now. I mean, because I love my old guitars and I'm, you know, but you need that because in the working environment today, especially the way people, you know, a lot of people are using soft cases, putting it up in the rafters of the plane or whatever. So there's more chance of damage and stuff. And especially with acoustic guitars, if it gets broken, it can be repaired, but you need something the next night. If you have to buy one, you can buy one and you know it's going to deliver.
And we pride ourselves on that. We pride ourselves on a very, very low return rate from our retail partners. So when we ship them 10 guitars, chances are those 10 guitars get sold. Unlike some of our other competition where as you said, it can be a little bit of a crapshoot about I have to play five to find the right one. I don't think you have that problem with Yamaha. If you buy an A3 in California, it's just probably as pretty darn good as the A3 is that you're buying in New York.
Yeah.
Yep. And the reason that is because we had to get so used to manufacturing in Japan. There is a lot of weather in Japan, you know? So that's kind of one of the things that the early FGs were the king of. And it's, we can ship this guitar to you all over the world, and it's going to hold up. Yeah, that's kind of...
They're pretty rugged. They can handle a lot of abuse.
It's like one of the tenets of, you know, Yamaha quality is just it's heirloom quality that you can get around the globe, and you know when something goes wrong, we're there. It's like we can have another guitar in your hands in no time.
Right.
But there's a reason there's more a lot of guys like you, Jeff, that have your original Yamaha from 30 or 40 years ago. And that still plays and sounds just tremendous because the guitars were so well made even back then. Yeah. And all we're doing is getting better at what we do.
Yeah, no, it was a consistent guitar. And I mean, I tried other guitars at the time, and for the money, that thing was, and I'm going to mention this one story. It's really funny. You guys were on a couple of years ago, and you brought the FG-800 down. Mm-hmm. And after the show, we went to the gun club where all the collectors and stuff, and we walked in. I think you were there. Yeah. And Albert Lee was sitting down, and I've had him on the show. So I approached him, and I asked you to give me the FG-800. And this guitar has solid NATO sides, solid spruce top. List for $200.
It's laminate NATO back inside, so it's solid spruce.
Oh, it is
scallop
laminate.
Bracing, and then so, okay, a laminate so back inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, so I take this guitar and I hand it to Albert, and I asked him, "Do you think this guitar plays well?" So he started playing, you know, and he's like, "This is a good neck. I really like this neck." And then I said, "Now I know it was noisy in the room." I said, "Listen to it. Put your ear to it, and tell me if this is recordable." So he put it to his ear, and he goes, "I like the sound of this guitar." And I told him the price, and his jaw dropped because it's considered a student guitar. And I'm like, no, this is like a session guy's second guitar because it's not expensive, but it works with your other guitars. When you double guitar parts and stuff like that in a session, it's a perfect guitar for that.
Yeah, and we have a lot of artists now that are like going on Reverb and buying like old FG Red labels, and they give them to us. They give them to me and Andrew, and they're like, "Hey, this thing, you know, maybe somebody didn't take care of it, but I got it for such a smoking deal. Like, can you take care of it for me? And then we'll give it back to them, and then bam, next record, it's all over it."
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's like, they're great guitar. I mean, that's what I brought over here, that red guitar. That's 1966.
Oh, we're going to take a look at that in a minute. Do you want to go into the electrics first?
Well, let's just finish up. Since I've got an acoustic in my hand, we'll just finish up what's new from NAMM for what year is this? 2019, right? So FG Red Label shipping now should be at all of our retail partners, hopefully by the end of the summer, but they are available now. The other two things that we released in the guitar world is we took the parlor guitar, the CSF parlor guitar we did a couple of years ago, and then we added transacoustic technology into it. So what you do now is you've got a great little parlor guitar. That now has our transacoustic reverb.
Now that reverb is coming out of the guitar.
On my other controls, I can have chorus, and remember, I'm not plugged into anything yet.
Again, that's coming out of the guitar. It's not. I'm not processing it.
Yeah, you want to mess with your friends' heads? It's definitely a jaw dropper, head turner when you first pick it up. It's really cool.
Well, he was tuning it and playing it when we were warming up before the show, and he had the chorus on, and I'm like out there, and you can hear him walking around, and it's like,
yeah, and he pulled it right out of a box.
Where's the pedal?
Yeah,
so we basically took our CSF one mahogany guitar that we released last year, which is solid spruce wood, scallop bracing underneath, laminate mahogany back and sides, and then added the Transacoustic Magic Mojo on it. So Jeff's going to shoot a picture of that control panel. Now I've got natural reverb and chorus coming out of the guitar unplugged, right? The guitar is not plugged into a darn thing. I can be sitting in my couch. I can be sitting on the toilet. I can be sitting just about anywhere and get great natural acoustic sounds. The other thing we did with Transacoustic this year is we put it in a nylon string. And I can hear you people applauding right now. So once again, solid spruce over laminate oven coal back and side. Guitar sounds marvelous as it is, right? But now let's add some reverb. Now here's where I like it. Chorus. Chorus on the nylon string just makes everything sing.
Now, do me a favor, because I know the classical players are going to ask about this.
Yeah.
Is just do a simple scale. It doesn't have to be fast or whatever. Go up the board a little bit so they can hear the sustain of each of the notes. Because one of the things about the Yamahas that I've noticed, too, is there's no dead spots. At least I've not heard
it. Yeah, it's one of those things that... That's the 7th fret. Every note is there. So it's that definition is like Jeff says, as I go up the fretboard, I'm not losing anything. There's no dropout. Once again, our guitars are very balanced. Nice sparkle, good bottom end, but like I was saying, all of that warm, gooey middle that we all love as players and that we all respond to. So CG-TA, so classical guitar-transacoustic, $649. The CSF-TA, parlor guitar, 23.6-tenths scale length, in a hard bag at $699, available now at your favorite retailer. If not, kick them in the shins, tell them to order it.
And it's also got the kind of two reverbs in it. So
it's got thanks, Pat, for reminding me. It's got a graduated reverb. So there's a room reverb. Which I like a lot. I love to play the blues on that because I don't get lost in it. But sometimes in this very deep one, all of that is coming straight from the guitar, not plugged into a thing.
Now, is that just a... I notice there's a delay on the reverb to give it like a hall thing. Is that programmable or is that just...
It's graduated. So you'll see on the control where it goes from very slight to a lot as you turn the dial around.
Now, all that sound, what it is there's like kind of like you'd think of a speaker, right? There's an actuator that's inside the guitar and it's pressing against the back and it's creating like a sympathetic resonance that is the natural reverb coming out of the guitar. So now, it's actually the tone of the guitar that's coming out.
Yeah, no, it's just mind-blowing. But now the other thing too is you can plug these in, right?
So effects will come down the cable when plugged in, and effects don't necessarily have to come down the cable when you plug it in. So if you just want to play it as a straight acoustic electric nylon string, turn the effects off and then turn your master volume up and you've got a straight ahead acoustic electric nylon string. And that goes with any of the transacoustics. Yeah.
No, it's a great sounding. These guitars, they're great sounding. And the sustain, especially if you're playing classical on there, the guitar rings and it articulates well and at that price range where most classical guitars are $20,000 for the good ones, this thing really works and the tone is there. It's really nice.
It's cool. And if you're playing a solo gig, like you don't have to bring all this gear with you now. Like, you know, if you wanted to bring a reverb pedal or a delay pedal with you or a chorus pedal, you know, now it's less things over your shoulder. Mm-hmm. Now it's easier for you to get to your gig.
And we've got famous people using our FGTA on stage, right? Laura Jane Grace from Against Me. That's the guitar she plays on stage every night. Not the fancy one. She takes the working class FG transacoustic on the road with her. So we're very, very proud.
No, they sound great. I love this little parlor guy. It's a great finger picker.
It's great on the couch, too, you know, like it's a great guitar for I want to play, but I want, I wish I had a little bit more. I wish I had, you know, like the reverb or the chorus, or, you know, just kind of, I like that dreamy sound, or I want it to sound like a 12 string, but I don't want to buy a second guitar. You know, it's really great for that. And it gives you just like this little extra bit of volume boost. Not that you always need it in an acoustic guitar, but it's cool. It's like a, just like a little extra added juice there.
Yeah. So even if I'm just a couch player, why wouldn't I want reverb?
It's cool.
The thing I'm finding out, Jeff, is I'm playing more. So when I pick mine up in my office between phone calls or emails, it'll be about 20 minutes before I put them down, because the reverb will tell me where to go, right? The reverb leads me down some sort of path. And next thing I know, I've missed two conference calls and a very, very important email, and my boss is very mad at me. But that's the thing about this, about transacoustic technology, I think, is your guests and your listeners will find themselves playing more.
All right, we're almost out of time. So I want to, before we go to that guitar, the rest are, yeah. I want to see this old guy.
Oh, the old guy is it's an original SG2 from 1966. This is my personal guitar. But this was a guitar I bought locally, actually, from a guy, and it needed a little love. I think the couple previous owners to him did a little rough fret work, and they tried to replace the zero fret with a nut. So what I did is I took the whole thing back to the shop, and I reconditioned the whole thing. The only thing that's not original on the guitar, I think in one of the tuning machines, there's a non-OEM screw underneath one of the covers. So I took the whole thing. I gutted it. And actually, it's all original electronics, really unique
what
pickups.
What are those pickups? Tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, so this is the first year, first model electric guitar that Yamaha ever made. And this pickup that's in there, it's like a fatter single coil. It uses more traditional bar magnets that you would see in something like a humbucker. It's got a really unique sound, and it's actually you're able to go between two tone settings, so it has a second like volume and tone control.
Yeah, like a jazz master, you can switch. There's the top, so you have volume
and the rollers,
tone, and that switch on and off, and then a toggle from the two on the bottom.
Yeah, you could set a rhythm and lead sound. So if you want to, you know, have a rhythm sound that's a little more docile, or just kind of blends in a little bit better with the band, you could do that. And it's, you know, in 1966, that's like,
it kind of shows
crazy
a little,
features.
a little bit about the history of what Yamaha's been doing as far as electric guitar since 1966. We've been innovative, interesting, on stages with Carlos Santana to Billy Corgan to Jeff Schroeder from the Smashing Pumpkins. So there's a generational thing going on here. And then we'll kind of end with Revstar.
Yeah.
So what I want to do...
You guys have been around for a while.
Yeah.
What I want to do is, we did a couple of limited editions this year, and Pat's going to kind of elaborate a little bit about how these guitars came across. Specifically, there's one here that we know actually came out from one of our artist suggestions. But limited edition Revstars with some different pickups, humbuckers on the Bixby, P90 with the Bixby, which is something that I clamored for from the first day I started with Yamaha. Yeah. So I'll let Pat elaborate a little bit this. And then when he's playing it, everybody, what you're hearing is he's playing it direct out of the THR-100 HD head that we make. So we're just taking two XLRs out of the back, and we're playing two channels, a clean channel and a dirty channel. So what you hear, good tone-wise, is the amplifier. Bad playing-wise, it's Pat.
Yep.
I'm kidding!
So Revstar has pretty much been my life especially the last few months. So we did these limited edition models. What happened is, since I do all the artist instruments, what happens is they ask special requests. They say, hey, can I get this guitar? Can I get the 720 with two P90s? And I say, you know, yeah, we can do that. We could put, like, you know, humbucker-sized P90s in your guitar. But we said, well, let's do it the right way. So, you know, we decided we're going to make this model with P90s. It's very similar to what you would see in the regular 720. The only real difference is it's got our own proprietary YGD, you know, Yamaha-made P90 pickups that actually really get a lot of great buzz. People love the way that they sound. So we did this guitar in black. Originally, it was only offered in a kind of Bowden green for the 502T, the guitar that had just like the floating tailpiece.
It had this tailpiece on it, actually.
Actually, yeah, what Andy's holding now. And that's in the vintage Japanese denim color. That's like a color not otherwise offered on this guitar. It's really a sleek kind of, you know, subdued look that is just classy. If you're playing rock music, you're playing indie, you're playing, you know, in a pop band, you're playing whatever you want, it's going to fit in. It's really nice stylistically, sonically, and they still have the dry switch on the tone control. So with P90s, if you're playing with a lot of gain, right, let's see here, let's switch it up. And I go to this lead channel, and I'm cranking the gain, and the bass feels kind of heavy right now. I'll pull this dry switch, and it'll cut some of that bass out. So if you're playing with a little bit higher gain, it gives you a little bit more clarity. And instead of doing that as like a coil tap switch, which you'd normally see on a lot of guitars with humbuckers, they'll just do a coil tap, and you get this kind of big volume drop. We decided, let's do this other kind of passive tone circuit and try and make it a more usable sound, you know? So with this 100 head here, what we have is we actually have two channels set up, and I like to run a clean and a dirty simultaneously, because the sound that you're not going to hear with it being too muddy, you get back with the clean channel. So it's really good for blues. It's really good for all sorts. I actually like it for really heavy metal. I'll put one channel cranked all the way out, and then I'll do kind of like a cleanish Vox sound on the other
side. Go through the two pickups show us the together and separately, because I want to hear these proprietary pickups. Now that's the neck pickup, right?
Yep, this is the neck pickup. Together. And that's just the straight bridge pickup. Now, if I pull it's nice with the neck pickup, you know, you pull that dry switch. It gives you all the fatness of the neck pickup without any of, like, the woof, you know? So it's a nicer kind of single coil tone.
It rolls off a little low ends. It cuts a little more. That's good.
And on the humbuckered RevStars, the dry switch really is the secret weapon. For the fact you can get a nice little chime and jangle out of the guitar, but there's no 60-cycle hum. That's always been the detractor.
It's still a humbucker. You're just electronically
mimicking a single coil out of it, but keeping that grounding there so it stays nice and quiet.
Yeah. Yep, and we've actually been continuing to develop these guitars. So these limited edition guitars, these are cool. So that white finish is kind of based on, I made a guitar for a guy in a band called Royal Thunder, and great band. You should totally check that out.
Very cool band.
Playing BB, playing RevStar. So I made one that was all matte white.
There's no guarantee that guitar's in tune.
All right. Close enough for rock and roll. So I made a white RevStar, and everybody's like, that's what we're missing. So it just immediately was like, okay, let's do that. And it was most asked for on this model, so we're trying to give people what they're asking for.
Are those proprietary humbuckers?
Yep, these are our humbuckers, and they're got a really nice, you know, moderate output. I would say low-esque, not
like a PAF.
Yeah, I would say it's a warm sound, but you're still getting your full range, and we're getting.
Now that's the that's the neck pickup.
Yeah, this is a neck pickup. This thing's out of tune.
And And once again, this came out of an artist request, right? Yeah. So the artist saw the Big Speed guitar with the P90, or saw the P90 guitar, and the original guitar with the Bigsby on it had a very low output humbucker, almost a little weaker than a PAF. But this is a kind of a harder rock band. He needed the higher output pickup. So voila, there comes this limited edition Revstar 720B with the high output humbuckers in it, in that vintage white finish, and it's killing. It looks
now,
so
go,
good.
Go through the pickups and then use the other switch too, so we can get an idea what it does.
All right, so we got volume and tone all the way up, and I'm running both the clean and the dirty at the same time.
That's the neck pickup,
right? So let's put them both together. What you're hearing is like...
Keep going. Go to the two pickups.
I'll go to the two pickups.
Because you can hear the difference.
Yeah.
There. You can hear it. That's really noticeable.
So this is neck pickup with it off, and this is on. And as soon as you hit the switch, you hear it pop back up. And it's nice because you get that jangly sound from pulling the switch up, and you can kind of do some Gresh-esque type of sounds that you would want from kind of like a more typical... like a Bigsby equipped guitar.
Okay.
But well, none of that pesky 60 cycle hum. So I think that's where that dry switch, I think it's poorly named, but it's just an awesome, awesome feature on the Revstar guitar.
Now, are these now available as models or are they custom only?
No, these are available as models, but limited edition runs. So if you like what you've heard and you like what you've seen on the website, don't hesitate to run to your favorite retailer.
What are we looking at price-wise?
We're looking, it's the same price as every other production one. So that guitar he's holding in his hand, limited edition model, $899 with gig bag.
Yep.
It's a lot of guitar. Yamaha's going to give you more instrument than what you're paying for. We respect your paycheck. So we all have bills to pay, but we all have guitar habits as well. So.
Well, you're working guitar players can't afford... You just can't afford $20,000, $30,000 guitars.
Well, I mean, we make the everyman's guitar. I mean, it's supposed to be roadworthy. It's supposed to be, you know, reliable. You should be able to pick it up and not have a problem. I mean, we pulled this right out of the box. It's a little bit out of tune, but I just tuned it while you guys were chatting, and it's all good.
No, they're stable. They are stable.
Yeah, I mean, the Revstar actually is like kind of this project of like not stopping working on it. So we're constantly trying to tweak it and try to come up with the best version of it and constantly trying to innovate with this guitar. So what we're doing is we're always working on what our pickups are. We're working on the switching options. We're working on, you know, how the body and the neck balance and what tuners we're using. And, you know, it's kind of like what you would see more in a car company, honestly. We're always trying to do like some refresh after a certain point, and because we're not beholden to like this history, I feel like the hard part for certain companies is they have an expectation about what is historically accurate, and for us, we're able to just say we love our history. Obviously, we are very proud of a lot of the things that we've done, but we're not afraid to always look forward. And that's
well, it's refreshing where it's like, just make a good guitar.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other companies that make good guitars, but it's nice that
there's plenty of companies that make great guitars.
And from working myself with Panasonic and working with the Japanese, the quality is a big deal. And that's one of the primary things with Yamaha.
That's everything.
That quality in all of their stuff. And they make a lot more than just musical instruments.
Yeah. I mean,
we are diverse.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like the brand is so big and it's so important, so revered, that our quality management is so stringent that, you know, we're not going to put something out unless it's perfect. We can't put this three tuning fork logo on anything. You know, it's very, you know, it has to be, for us, it has to be something that everybody's proud of. Everybody on the team can say, you know, we did the best that we could do to deliver, right, you know, the most solid product.
Now, real quick, the woods. What's the neck and the back?
Oh, okay, yep. So this is all solid mahogany, and this has a maple top. And this has a rosewood fingerboard with real mother-of-pearl inlay. This specific model has our kind of split inlay. This is actually from a 70s Yamaha. So this is like kind of part of our historical touch. This guitar, Revstar is based on this Cafe Racer ideology of, like, this was the design concept, but we're pulling some parts from our history. So the overall shape is kind of based on something called the Super Fighter from the 70s. And, you know, some of the inlays are from that era as well that you would find in, like, old hollow bodies, SA-15, SA-30, you know.
We're out of time. Real quick, for more information, what's the website?
You can check us out and everything that we talked about here tonight at usa.yamaha.com. You can get links to Pat's website, what they do over at Yamaha Guitar Development, and the kind of the craziness that's going on at the development shop and the custom shop. And it's a great way to stay plugged into everything that's going on with Yamaha.
And also, too, where are you going to be around? I know you're always traveling. Any places you want to mention, and also where you're gigging? Because they got to hear this guy play. He's a great player.
Oh, my Lord. I had 2 gigs this past weekend. Thank you very much for mentioning that, Jeff. I'm going to go to Gear Fest. If any of my friends are out in Sweetwater in Fort Wayne, Indiana, we'll be there the 19th through the 22nd of June. We've already made, like you were talking about, Summer NAMM. Travel plans have already been made for that. And here's a little cat out of the bag. Yamaha at Summer NAMM is going to be nothing but guitars. It'll be all Yamaha guitars, Ampeg, and look at the hair stands up on my arm just talking about it. It'll be nothing but Yamaha guitars, Line 6, and Ampeg for us at Summer NAMM. So if you're in Nashville during that time, come down and see us. Band gigs, look up the jackpotclub.com, Reverb Nation, interwebs, YouTube, wherever you want to find us.
Yes, and I'm very excited that Yamaha owns Ampeg now. They're going to be coming on in the show later in the summer.
Fantastic.
They're coming down, so that's very cool. I want to thank you guys again, Pat, Andy. It's always great to have you guys on, and we got to do it sooner than later next time. And thank you for bringing this. This
I live a mile away from here, so anytime you want to come,
I'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, everybody, check that out. The Transacoustic. Check out the FG Red Label. And these Revstars are they're great playing guitars. You got to try the necks out. When you try that, you'll see that they really play well, and they're very consistent from guitar to guitar.
I say put us up against the competition. You'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yes. Everybody, thank you so much. Thank you guys for coming down.
Thanks, Jeff.
And we will see you next week.